The theologian Emil Brunner said the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. And the ground of our hope lies not in human capacity, but in the power, divine power of Jesus Christ, risen and crucified, ascended, in fact. And the letter to the Ephesians, which was read to us earlier, really talks about this power that is in the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves people. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the world, especially seeking the least, the lost, and the last. And today we're about our Heavenly Father's business of worship and prayer. We are a people of prayer. And I want us to think about our vision of prayer and what God can do through his people in praying. And it really matters to him, and through the scriptures we discover how prayer really reflects the priorities of his people. I came across this story of a sweet little girl who was 3 years of age, and she had a sibling who was 6 years of age, an older brother. And her older brother kept being a bit of a pest, you know what it can be like, and riling her and getting her upset. And eventually, this little girl called Katie had had enough, and so she threw a punch at her six-year-old sibling and floored him, as you do. And her mother exclaimed, "Katie, how could you do such a thing?" And Katie, all 3 years of age of her, stood up and said, "It was the Lord who gave me strength." Now, I'm not encouraging you to punch your opponent, but I think there's a message in there about the Lord giving us strength through the ministry of intercession, through prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16... we're reminded that out of his glorious riches, may he strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And the power the apostle is speaking about is the power, as I say, not of knocking your opponents out, but being filled with the Spirit of Christ. And so in IJM, as a Christian ministry worldwide, prayer is very important to us. And we set aside 1 hour every day across all of our offices to pray. We have a quarterly prayer meeting in every office. Each member of the team is given a day of solitude every year to go and seek the Lord. And globally, we have an international prayer gathering, a global prayer gathering in Washington, D.C., 17th to 18th, and it's one of the best prayer meetings I've ever participated in. And because we really see what God has done, there's a real sense of joy of the accomplishment of the past years. But then there's also lament for the pain and the suffering and the challenges and the areas where we're really not seeing victory. So prayer is really important to us. And it's important to the people that really partner with us. And we have a London prayer group that meets quarterly, and you can find more about that downstairs at the table. And I've said earlier today that when there's a fire in a building, most people will run out. But we've heard about some of the mission partners, including IJM, who actually run to the fire to bring about rescue, to actually confront evil and darkness. And Paul encourages us to follow God, who will not run away from us, will not run away from creation, but he sent his one and only Son. In Ephesians 3, 17 to 19, the apostle says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Prayer is oxygen to the soul. It's a holy conversation before a heavenly Father with a beloved child. And God invites us to join him in his work of justice and righteousness. And for Christians, it begins in prayer. There's a story of an elderly neighbor who has about a half an acre of lawn, of grass in his back garden. And he's really struggling because he's got one of these lawnmowers that you push. And it takes him days to cut the lawn. And his neighbors, who are a young couple, they have one of these fancy ride-on lawnmowers. And they really have concern about their neighbor. So they go to him and say to this man, well, would you like us to cut your lawn? In fact, would you like to borrow our sit-on lawnmower so that, you know, you can get your lawn done in a couple of hours rather than 2 or 3 days? But the elderly man declined. He preferred to push his mower to take 2 or 3 days. He declined that power that was at his resource and all that energy that was expended. And we as Christians, says Paul, need to behold the awesomeness of our God that holds us, that keeps us, that propels us. And in IJM, when you're confronting forces of darkness, when you're confronting violent men and women who are physically hurting others, you suddenly see that actually leadership is not about just the tools that you've been taught at university or even in college, in theology, or in training as a lawyer or a criminal investigator. We find that leadership comes from what's within you. Paul spoke about this, about the inner power of Christ. It's really interesting when some Western lawyers who join IJM, so whether they're in London or whether they're from North America, they can be here and they'll click their fingers to get meetings. But I remember listening to Jesse, who is our director in Kampala, Uganda, and we worked out it took 5,000 hours to restore land that was stolen from Grace, that was a widow. She was homeless, and the brutal violence that followed her. It took so many hours to the courts, to the police station, just to move one piece of paper to another. And many, many people aren't used to that, just don't have the resilience, the perseverance. You lead from what's been sown into you. And it's true for us here that how we confront the challenges is about our spiritual formation. Our prayer disciplines are so important, and the gift of Scripture that we need to sow into our lives. And because sheer activism will just lead to burnout. And so discovering this rhythm is so important. Let me just share some of the challenges that we face across the world in IJM. 2 million children in the sex trade. And then if I look at the next slide, you'll have 35 million people who today are in slavery. That's a huge, huge challenge for us here as a church. UK is not immune from such problems. Or if I think about 1 in 5 women will face assault. In some of the countries where we work, females are assaulted by up to 45% of the population. Let me share just a story of what injustice can look like and introduce you to Collins, a young man who was married, a Christian from Kenya, who was rounded up by police. The police had lost their radio. And in Kenya, if you lose a piece of equipment, you'll be dismissed, you'll be sacked. And so these police officers rounded on Collins, and I think it was John who was the other person, and they said he stole the police radio, which he didn't. And they charged him with something called robbery with violence. And in the Kenyan justice system, that's a mandatory life sentence. Collins was married, his wife was expecting their first child, and there was no means to support them. He languished in prison. But IGM got to hear about that story. And it so happened John managed to get out on bail, but Collins didn't. And we in IGM were praying for him, and it was really tough, if I'm being honest with you. I remember in February last year, we prayed because his court case was coming up. Wamitha, our lawyer, was there to defend him so that he could be brought out, that he could be set free on bail. But the prosecutor didn't turn up, so the court case was deferred from February to June. Mindful, he's in a prison cell where there are very dangerous criminals, in an overcrowded system where they have to take it in turns, who stands up and who lies down to sleep. And Collins, really trusting Christ, really looking to God in such a difficult circumstance. His wife, who had to move 250 miles away to be with his family, not knowing how she is during the pregnancy. And these are challenging times. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, we're called to pray without ceasing, to constantly bring before God the needs of others. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 to 21, the apostle talks about and invites us into something very special. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. For us in IGM, what does that look like? In 1997, Gary Haugen and our team managed to rescue one young girl from a place of evil in Mumbai. And then in the past year, in 2014, IGM's teams around the world have been privileged to serve and rescue 4,300 people. That's probably about four or five congregations of all souls today who are free, free from violence, free from being held against their will, free from beatings. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And so when it comes to praying into justice, we have to shrink the shadows because we're very fearful. We're very timid sometimes about the darkness that comes in. When I was a little boy, I used to watch TV with my older brother, and you would watch a scary program, and we would be a bit worried in our house. I don't know why, but we would have a landing upstairs, and there were two walls. We had these imaginary people who were about to assault us at the top of the stairs, and we used to charge up the stairs and dive across the landing into our bedrooms, thinking we were about to be caught by the bogeyman or something. And in a way, as Christians, we need to charge the darkness. We need to chase after it as those who are empowered by the risen Christ. We need to shrink those shadows. We feel out of practice. How do I pray then? About 35 million people, 2 million children. How do I deal with that, Terry, you might ask? Well, I would say pray. Well, should I pray out aloud? Yes. Should I pray quietly? Yes. Should I pray specifically about a country? Yes. Should I pray generally about it? Yes. We just need to be about our Father's business in prayer. It's a matter of the heart and laying on our hearts the things that matter to God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," which can be changed to justice, "and for they will be filled." So it's about our hearts being unguarded before our Heavenly Father. It's about trusting the things that matter to him, no matter how difficult, no matter how dark. It's about honoring him and seeking and trusting in Christ. And so we continue to pray for Collins. We continue to advocate him. And guess what? In June, the court case got put back again. And it's easy to lose heart. But I want to share with you folks that on the 21st of January, Collins was set free. And here are his two lawyers, Wamitha. And he's had a baby child for 4 months who he hasn't been able to see. But last month, he was reunited. And God is in the business of bringing freedom. And for Collins, that matters so much. And his faith had grown during such trauma. So we need to persevere to the dawn. And it's often said that the early hours of the morning, of the night rather, are the hardest part to see through. God calls us to join the struggle against evil and violence and brutality. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. We feel like Gideon, where he was asked to defeat the Midianites. So what does he do? He gets 32,000 of his tribe, and God begins to whittle it down. He has all the resources to go for, to take out the Midianites. And you know the story of the Old Testament, where he's whittled down to 300 soldiers. And by God's power, made perfect in weakness, he overcomes the Midianites. This is about really making ourselves available to God. It's not a trivial call, friends, to confront and defeat evil. It's dangerous. It's a David and Goliath battle. And we need to slay the giant of slavery, as our Christian forebears have done. The night seems, as I say, in the early hours, it seems so dark. It seems like we're never going to get there. But we just need to persevere to the dawn. We need to keep going to what God has for us. And I want to share a story about our prayer gathering. In 2011, we had Saju Matthew, who leads our work in South Asia, where 50% of the world's slaves exist. And there was a call to end slavery in our generation, as it were, a prophetic call to the church, to the people of God, let's end slavery. For some of us, that felt like kind of biting too much and too much to swallow. But we really prayed for that. And I want to share with you what happened was quite astonishing for us. Within a matter of 2 weeks later, IJM had our biggest rescue operation in Tamil Nadu. With the police, we rescued 512 individuals from one brick kiln. And it all began with one man who had the courage to say, I want to get out of here. And if you're found out, the slave master will beat you within a whisker of your life. And then others, 132 families were rescued. And it was though God was saying to us, I'm with you. And then later that year, the Google company said it wants to make an investment in ending slavery across India. And it chose IJM as one of the partners. And it was a real challenge for us because it was an intervention project where we had to work with local NGOs to use our sort of model. We have investigators and lawyers. Many of these NGOs didn't. And friends, in the 2.5 years that that has run, over 5,000 people have been rescued from forced slavery across the states of India. At the end of 2011, the Indian government declared for the first time it wants to eradicate slavery and created these anti-trafficking police units across each of the states of their country. We've seen prayer change things, where God does amazing things. And sometimes we can become a bit stale. We can lack the confidence. But the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we're not responsible for the outcomes of prayer. It's about laying it before the Lord's feet and allowing him to do what he wants to do. Here's some pictures on the slides of the 500 individuals in the top left who were rescued 3 or 4 years ago. Amazing things that we saw God do. I want to share another story that may be closer to home for some of us, and it's about the Berlin Wall. In St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig in 1982, an East German town, a group of Christians under the leadership of their pastor began to pray that there will be an end to the communist oppression in East Germany. And a dozen to 20 people would pray regularly in St. Nicholas's Church. And then we began to hear stories of the growing numbers of people who were praying. And then in 1989, something like 8,000 people, including the state police, who were actually investigating what was going on, turned up to pray that the Berlin Wall would fall. There were threats by the Prime Minister of East Germany, and the police were out on the streets. They were going to be violent to the protesters. And something like 120,000 people turned up in Leipzig to pray. They were holding candles, and then there were all these military with their weapons. And there was no violence that day. And a month later, the wall came down. The power of prayer is exceptional. And Isaiah talks about, I, the Lord, love justice. There are over 2,200 references to justice in the scriptures. So I want to encourage you to read Gary's book, Good News About Injustice, because it's often the missing link. How do we do justice? That was the challenge for me in local ministry. We could do the evangelistic mission. We could do the mercy and compassionate mission. But how do we actually engage in changing criminal justice systems? How do we actually face up and confront evil people? And we need to remind ourselves as we close. The psalmist says of the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it belongs to our God and our King. So as I close, I want to finish with a couple of stories for you. One is a small church in the slums of Mumbai who responded. The pastor heard about the needs of exploitation in his own city. And so that church has responded to the needs of trafficking survivors by providing work in textiles and really bringing dignity. We partner with the churches across India. And there's another story I want to share with you where we were just teaching about the biblical call to do justice. And this pastor in the south of the country, in a very large church, did something quite extraordinary. There was a woman, a young woman, who had just returned from the north where she had been trafficked into the sex industry. And it's a very shameful thing. But the pastor publicly welcomed her back into the church on the platform. She had had two children during her forced prostitution. And the pastor and the wife publicly announced that they were adopting those two children. And the waves through that congregation of the countercultural views was enormous. And we're seeing God do amazing things through prayer. There's something practical you can do. You've got an advocacy card in your notice sheet. The United Nations are drawing up the new sustainable development goals across the world. And these are tangible things that nations will commit to. And for the first time ever, rule of law is going to be included. It's goal number 16. And then the UN will be deciding this in June this year. And there's a lot of discussion. And some of the goals will be removed because some nations won't want to keep them. And for the first time, law enforcement is one of those. And so, friends, if you want to practically engage, please sign this and put it in the postbox as you leave. We're going to be giving that to the UK ambassador to the UN in the summer of this year. That's a practical response. I want to encourage you in your prayers to intercede for the mission partners here. You may not necessarily hear the fruit of your prayers, but friends, it will bless and encourage those mission partners. I want to encourage you to tell three people you meet this week. Do you know that there are 36 million people in slavery across our world. I don't want you to just make them feel guilty. Just inform them. Three people. Did you know that? I want you to encourage you to be an agent of change, of light and goodness, to use your influence, to network, to change violence against people. But I want you to remain rooted and established in the love of Christ. Discover how he loves you, but he also longs to release the lost and the violated. My final point is really this, that prayer is the primary mover for discipling the nations in righteousness. We're really encouraged in IJM. We have 80,000 prayer partners across India. I think that's amazing. And we really need your prayers as we open up a new office in Ghana in a couple of months' time. Pray that we might find a senior Ghanaian lawyer to work for us. Pray as they tackle boys that are trafficked into the fishing industry. 50,000 boys trafficked in the fishing industry. I want you to be strengthened in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to remember he will do immeasurably more. Our part is to trust and obey, shrink the shadows, persevere to the dawn, and give glory to God who shares delight in all you do. In the name of Christ, amen.